listening to Out of the Box with Rosie Tran. Out of the Box is sponsored by HugMeTees.com. Spread love, give a hug, HugMeTees.com. Guys, as always, we are on Stitcher and iTunes, but don't forget about SoundCloud. We always forget about SoundCloud, and our numbers are low down there, and that makes me sad face. So don't forget to go on SoundCloud.com/Out of the Box Podcast and click on the follow button and listen from there if you're a SoundCloud subscriber and you have an account on there. Also, I just want to give everyone a high five, a virtual high five for all of the positive feedback for the holiday episode. That was super cool. And I had some people on Instagram and other places adding me with some positive comments. And that was so, so cool. And I was really happy about it because you guys know I get super nervous about the solo episodes. But thankfully, I had a lot of fans and friends and other listeners giving me the positive feedback. So I will have a couple more solo episodes in 2015, and I will be very happy to spread the knowledge. I have a lot more topics. Sometimes I kind of go on a tangent-y stream of consciousness thing, and then I listen to it afterwards and I'm like, does that make sense? I'm not sure, but according to the positive comments, they did make sense and I was coherent. So that was good. But I do have a guest today in studio. I'm really excited. He is the host of the podcast Left of Wrong on Radio Titans, Jim Coughlin. Jim, how are you?
Very good.
Very good. I am excited to have you on here because you have some very interesting viewpoints and you're kind of like, I don't know. Would you consider yourself a political expert? You just have a political blog?
No, no, not at all. But
you're a talking head? Yeah. What are you?
I'm a progressive. I'm a progressive, I'd like to say. And I'm a comedian. So hopefully those two things. I can be knowledgeable about things. There's so much to know. And I certainly, since starting this podcast, we've been doing the podcast almost a year now. You realize how little you do suck up in a week. We try to talk about the week's news and it'll be like, well, I read this and I read that, but wait a second, what all happened? And then, you know, my partner Randy Harkin will always pull in something and be like, no, I don't know what that is. Or an acronym where you're like, I meant
are
to
you
read
saying
that
we're misinformed or that there's just too much information out there?
Well, I get distracted is what I'm saying.
You're saying you have ADD.
Yes, undiagnosed. I'm saying that, you know, you read an article, you go, okay, here's an article that's going to inform me about yada yada, you know, some important topic. And then at the bottom, there's something about, what do they call those? Wardrobe slips. Or and like, I got to click on this too. Oh, let me get back to the important thing. But I don't even care about Jay-Z, but it'd be like, oh, Jay-Z did this. Oh, let me read this. And then get back to
and you get sucked into the fake news, like Kim Kardashian was wearing what and what at the Cannes Film Festival.
Yeah, and I don't care about Kim Kardashian, but I do end up knowing a little bit about them. And yeah.
Because you get sucked into the fake news.
Sure, sure.
A lot of us. Do you think that a lot of that entertainment news is just, are you one of these progressives? I'm using loose quotes because you said, you know,
I didn't say that in a bad way. Go ahead.
I didn't. No, I have all sorts of people on the podcast and I myself have mixed political views. You know, I have a lot of libertarian people and other alternative, you know, the main thing with Out of the Box is I want to bring alternative viewpoints because I think the mainstream media sometimes, you know, they're not really showing what's representing the rest of America. If you look at the actual voting spectrum, you know, we always talk about Democrats, Republicans, but I think it's over 40% of people identify themselves as independents.
Right.
So what the mainstream, again, loose quotes, which you guys can't see, is not really the mainstream. It's you know.
Yeah, they only report on Democratic and Republican candidates, right? And if most people are independents, then, then obviously there needs to be more reporting on either third parties or things like, you know, I was about to say Barry Sanders, Senator Bernie Sanders.
Bernie, please run. We're begging you. Yeah. I love Bernie Sanders, by the way. And he, even though he's considered very leftist, he identifies himself as an independent.
Yes. Yes. And he...
I love you, Bernie.
He caucuses with the Democrats. So,
do you ever watch Bernie's like tangents on YouTube and stuff like that? So good.
I mainly just read the little things he puts on.
You're ADD uninformed. Are you following Bernie on Twitter and just reading the tweets?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Look, if it's more than 140 characters, how am I supposed to ingest that? You know, it's too much. No, but I do read his comments. And yeah, I mean, he speaks truth to power, as they say.
I love Bernie.
Yeah,
I
he's
love
awesome.
Bernie.
He's the ideal. You know, I would like him to be. Yeah, I would like to see him president.
If Bernie, you know what, a lot of people are going to boo-hiss me, but I actually support Hillary Clinton. But if Bernie runs, I'm sorry, Hillary, I'm giving my vote to Bernie. And I'm not necessarily on the left. I have some ideas on the left. I agree with some on the right, some in the middle. I don't necessarily think one specific party represents my viewpoint. I have different views. You know, I don't think that you should think one way or the other.
By the
That's
way, should I be the one to introduce this topic randomly?
Sure, why not?
All right, because this gets to that. Instant runoff voting.
Is that the answer? Tell me.
That is one.
What is that? Key, what are you talking about?
Key answer or key piece to the answer of how we get politicians who represent the interests of voters as opposed to representing the interests of the wealthy power structure that has access to those politicians. So what it is, yeah, what's going to probably happen is Bernie Sanders, maybe he will run. We know,
fingers crossed,
obviously Hillary Clinton is going to run.
Supposedly, it's not announced yet, although sure. I am on the Ready for Hillary mailing list, and they spam me about 10 times a day, which is enough for me to want to not vote for her.
Right.
I literally get spam from Hillary.
Why didn't you vote for her? She emailed me too many times.
She literally spams me like 10 times a day, and I think I changed my email subscription preferences to like only once a week, and I still get them.
Wow. Yeah, there's some congressional candidate that I was getting these desperate pleading emails like, we missed our goal for this, and you know, yeah, it does start to turn you off. But so what's going to happen is Hillary's going to run. Maybe Bernie Sanders
will run.
And in the end, you know, maybe I don't think Bernie Sanders would run as an independent in the presidential. But if he did, let's say he did, then you would be faced with voting for, say, Jeb Bush, Hillary Clinton, or Bernie Sanders. And say your number one choice is Bernie Sanders. If you vote in the general election for Bernie Sanders, you are essentially saying, you know what, I'd prefer Jeb Bush over Hillary Clinton because you may know, you know, it's unrealistic.
You're taking the votes away from Hillary, basically, quote unquote, the way Ross Perot took votes away because he would be supposedly running under the Democratic Party, correct? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
So you would be taking votes away from Hillary by voting for Bernie Sanders.
And a lot of people say that's the way you should be an idealist and vote for who you think represents. But, you know, that the person that ideally represents you is probably not even maybe Bernie Sanders. Maybe it's some other person we've never heard of. But
that happened. It's all a compromise. That happened 4 years ago, or not four, two, 3 years ago. When was the last election? 2 years ago.
In 2014, there was, which presidential was 2012?
2012 was the last one, and that happened to me. And this is horrible. I don't even remember the person's name that I voted for.
Presidential election.
Roseanne ran for the Green Party.
Yes, right.
And I was going to vote for Roseanne. I actually went to go see her down the street at the Plymouth Mayflower Center, whatever that place is in North Hollywood. And first of all, I get irritated when people are like, "Oh, Roseanne's running; she's a cuckoo," or "This person's running; they're crazy." But the person who is accusing that they're nutso doesn't know their actual political viewpoints.
Right.
That's annoying because I was in California when the governor got elected, and 90% of the people that I know that voted for him, their reason was he was the Terminator.
Right.
So that's not cool. But Roseanne actually had a lot of really good viewpoints, but then she ended up not running under the Green Party and ran under the Peace and Freedom or Independent something.
Right.
And then whoever ran under the Green Party, which this is awful that I'm completely blanking, I voted for her. Anyway.
Yeah. So did you vote for her in the primaries or in the general election?
Both.
Okay. So basically you said, you know, it didn't really matter in California.
I just wanted to vote for who I was going to vote for, okay?
Sure, sure. What I'm saying is that you didn't throw Obama under the bus because Obama was going to win in California anyway. You know, yes. We're such a Democratic state.
Yes.
So with instant runoff voting, you would get a ballot and it would have all the candidates that, you know, had met some standard, maybe signatures to get on the ballot, or maybe
porn star
a primary.
Or whatever.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, in California.
And then, right. By the way, I think I can say I've been flashed by a gubernatorial candidate, but we'll get to that. So you would be able to put Roseanne as your number one choice, you know, Bernie Sanders as number two, you know, Obama number three, and your fourth candidate, you know, if you even marked it down, would be Jeb Bush or whatever it is. You know,
and this is the instant runoff voting technique.
Yeah.
Okay.
So when they what they do is they add up, you know, the number one votes of each candidate. So Jeb Bush has, let's say he got 35% of the vote. You know, mm-hmm. he's not going to win in California, whatever. And you and Roseanne has 5% or 12% or 15%. And somebody else has 20, and I'm not going to do numbers that add up, but, you know.
I was like, maybe we should use really simple numbers like 10%, right. 20%.
And so you go, okay, great. You got to vote your conscience. You got to vote for Roseanne, but you weren't throwing your vote away and basically giving an election away to, say, somebody who is diametrically opposed to you, like if that was Jeb Bush or
got it,
whatever.
Got it.
Then, but because Jeb Bush, you know, by voting, you are, of course, giving fewer votes to Obama. So maybe Jeb Bush is ahead mm-hmm. on the first tally. But if he doesn't have 50% or more, he doesn't win. So you take the person who has the fewest votes and you knock them off and you say, okay, who did these people who voted for, say, Roseanne, who do they vote for their number two? And in your case, let's say it's Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
Then you look at how many votes now does Bernie Sanders have. But, you know, you redistribute all of those that were first place for Bernie or for Roseanne to the other candidates. And there's going to be some people who are like, well, for me, it was between Jeb Bush and Roseanne. You're like, really? Okay. You know, but that's going to be the way. You know, there's always people that are going to have, you know, or, you know, Ross Perot pulled from Democrats and Republicans, or Bernie Sanders might to some extent, you know, or some of the Libertarian candidates are definitely...
Ron,
you know,
Paul and
yeah, Ron Paul. You know, by being against military intervention, that's going to pull some progressives and liberals to be like, you know, I disagree with him on this, that, the other, but he'll keep us out of the Middle East or whatever. You know, so there are definitely candidates who are in a weird place within American politics where they would draw from both parties.
See, that's why I don't like the whole left right whatever thing, because it's like, I have some viewpoints that are considered extreme right, yet I have some viewpoints that are considered extreme left.
This is why you should support instant runoff voting, because you could vote for that other candidate. And even if they don't win.
So are there any states, I'm sorry to cut you off, are there any states or countries that use this technique?
There are. I don't know a lot about how it's implemented in other countries. Apparently Australia does it. There are some states, none of them use it for presidential, I don't think.
Just local.
But local.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it works.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, nowadays we have, obviously, computer technology. It's all instant, you know.
Easy to rig.
Yeah. Well, you know, even if you do paper ballots, you can still resort.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that way you could vote for, you know, who you really want, and also for the person that you think, you know, is most likely to win and supports, you know, is close to. Like, in my case, that would be, you know, I would vote for Bernie Sanders and then Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in California, maybe I would vote for Bernie Sanders in the primary, and then I would vote. So the other thing is, while we're waiting for instant runoff voting, if you are a progressive, you have, or even if you're, I don't care, you have to pay attention to the primaries, because that's where you can get change within a party, you know. Without paying attention to those other candidates when you vote in the primaries, if you just go, I'll let other people decide who will be the front runner in the Democratic Party, and then I'll vote for them in the general, that doesn't really get us where we need to be. So,
yeah, so you're saying this technique is more fair, and it makes people not have an either or attitude.
Yeah, because to me, like I'm never going to be the idealist who's going to be like, it's Ralph Nader or nobody. And then you're like, that's how we got George Bush. That sucked.
Just so you know, listeners, I just Googled it because I didn't want to sound completely uneducated. It was Jill Stein. That's who I voted for.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I don't know why I totally blanked on her name, but I had to Google it while you were
chatting. You know, somehow I ended up, I think when I re-registered to vote one time, somebody might have gotten, somebody switched me to Green Party. So then I went to vote in the primary and they wouldn't let me vote. Like I had to do a provisional ballot. And then my vote didn't count ultimately.
Oh, sad.
And I think what happened in that situation is that different parties will sometimes pay for you to sign up people for their party.
Uh-huh.
So I used to do this. I did this one of my very first job in California.
Did you sign up somewhere outside of Target?
I did something like that. Yeah. I did it for about 2 days. It was horrible and I never went back. At that point, the Republican Party paid you to get Republican voters. And so even though everybody working was pretty much a progressive, they're like, I'll take the money.
How much was the money?
Oh, it was like, I don't know, $1 per candidate, per voter, or 50 mm-hmm. cents. I don't know. Certainly,
poor progressives.
Yeah.
Betraying the team.
Yeah.
What do you think of the Electoral College? Is it a scam? Does it still work? What is the purpose of it?
Well, it's...
I know the purpose of it, but what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it always sucks when your candidate doesn't win. So... If your candidate gets the most votes overall, but loses in the Electoral College, at that point you're going to say the Electoral College sucks. Obviously,
but do you know the actual original creation of the Electoral College was because the founding fathers or whoever thought they could not trust the basically. We claim we live in a democracy, but if you technically look at it, it's more of a republic, the way certain things are set up.
Yeah.
They were saying, we don't trust the common people to vote, so let's set up this Electoral College. I mean, if you can Google it and find out the history of the Electoral College, it explains it right there on .gov website.
First of all, what drives me nuts is, particularly libertarians for some reason, they hate it. If you say it's a democracy, like, it's not a democracy. Well, they're right to the extent that it wasn't set up as a pure democracy, certainly as a representational democracy. Certainly, we get to vote, and that determines who the leader is. So we live in a democracy. It's also a republic. This is where I think people get confused by the fact that, you know, you have dogs. They're also mammals. You know, it's like, oh, no, it's not a dog. It's a mammal. Like, I have now adapted to saying that in California we have – that was me, sorry – that we have freeways. But I used to say highways, and somebody would be like, we don't have highways. And I was like, what the fuck do you... Sorry, can I swear?
You can say whatever you want.
What the hell do you think the definition of a freeway is? It's a type of highway. So anyway...
It's a type of highway where you don't have to pay tolls, which is why it's called freeway. If it's a toll, if there's a toll in it, then it's not considered a freeway.
Okay. But most,
I know you're just using an example.
No, but I grew up driving on highways. There were no toll roads.
Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in St. Louis.
Oh,
the suburbs of St. Louis.
Ew.
Yeah. So the Electoral College. The best defense of it I've heard was comparing it to. Let me throw my phone further away. Anyway,
fetch.
Anyway, it's a new chew toy for your dogs. It's like comparing it to the World Series, where, say, it's the Yankees. There was a particular World Series, I guess, where the Yankees were hitting all these home runs. And so they had really high-scoring games that they won, but they didn't win, you know, four games. They lost the World Series, even though they scored more points. The where I'm going with this
is, you're like, I have a point.
is that in California, let's say, you know, Obama's going to win, right? Let's say, or the Democratic candidate is most likely going to win. But you only get so many votes from California.
What is it, 30? How many?
We have, it's one of the most.
If
it isn't the most, yeah.
For the Electoral College.
Right. It's a fun little formula based upon the number of congressmen plus your two senators.
Divided by the senators plus population minus taxes. Yes. Plus but, lobbyist money.
But so you either win California or you don't. So there's no benefit to getting, say, 95% of the vote in California.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, because you have, basically, it causes the candidates to campaign in more states. They can't just concentrate on, say, Texas and California. They have to try to win in more states because
they get those electoral college votes.
Yeah. Whereas without electoral college, you know, you could concentrate on California and Texas and say, I don't care about, you know, the whole South or the whole.
If it was popular vote only.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the populations here are huge.
Yeah.
You know?
And so it's considered to have had an effect on, you know, many, many times. That's why they tend to, candidates tend to pick a vice presidential candidate that represents another region of the country or, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know.
But do you think it's unconstitutional to have this kind of third party as a conduit between voters and actual their votes?
Well, not unconstitutional. It's in the Constitution, right?
Is
it anti-democracy? Maybe. I mean, it is weird that there's a person who can literally change their vote. There's a name for it or something like unfaithful elector. Something like that. And it's like they can, you know, they can say, I was elected to vote for Obama or George Bush, but I'm going to vote for.
And is that illegal?
It's not illegal, I don't think.
It's just unfaithful.
It's unfaithful, yeah. There might be some corrections on that, but yeah. You know, of course, they're going to be vetted to some extent before they become that.
So you're from St. Louis. Are you, like, totally up on this Ferguson thing that's going crazy on the internet?
Well,
and the mainstream media is barely covering? Well, they covered it a little bit, and then it kind of got swept under once other issues came up, which is the typical,
that's
right?
Typical, right. Well, it really, I think, even though there's been many, many cases, it seems like this is one of the bigger, igniter of passions, this particular case, and then those that followed it, even though there's always these types of cases. But I have to say, it definitely drew me in to find out more about the injustice. And you realize that, on the one hand, you've got a repeated history of African-Americans being treated differently by the police and the rest of our society, but also realizing how many average white people don't see that issue as even existing.
Like, so you know, you grew up, okay, so you're a white guy, for those of you who can't see him.
Yeah.
what have you ever been to the Ferguson area?
I don't think so. I may have been near there.
Even though you grew up in St. Louis?
Yeah, I mean, it's North St. Louis, and, you know, it's always been, or for a long time, it's been, I don't want to say, probably predominantly African-American, that entire North St. Louis.
North side, right.
Yeah, and honestly, I can't think of any particular reason I would go there in terms of, like, oh, you got to go do this thing or that thing. It's not like I avoided it. It's just, you know, in terms of, I grew up in the suburbs and I would drive into the city to do things.
Is St. Louis, do you feel that it's a segregated city?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And that's why South St. Louis is known for being almost, you know, primarily white. Maybe that's not fair, but it's definitely very white. In fact, I'm not sure if it was 48 hours or 60 minutes, but one of the shows did a profile where they took two guys who happened to be friends. They'd gone to college together, I think. One was white, one was black, and they took them to St. Louis. And they were saying it's not about St. Louis, but still it was like a sort of a hidden camera study of how people are treated, and kind of amazed me at the time, you know, where the black guy, they had him walk in South County and somebody rolls up on a truck, rolls past him saying, you're in the wrong part of town, or aren't you in the wrong part of town? And that's probably not atypical, you know.
See, that is really bizarre to me, because I grew up in New Orleans, which is a predominantly black city. It's about 60-70% black. And, you know, people talk about, oh, well, you know, there's the uptown area, which is rich, or the Garden District, which is, you know, very white, and or Lakeview, which is very white. But in general, it's very mixed. Like, there's no part of town that doesn't have black people.
Right.
You know, like, I remember someone tweeting at me, this was a hater, who I was tweeting about Ferguson.
Yeah.
Against police brutality. I don't personally agree with certain aspects. I just had Ashley Carey on here, who is a police officer, and we talked about Ferguson a little bit. And she said, well, you know, he did accost the police officer, and he did do this and that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, can I respond
to
that later?
You can. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry.
And that was her opinion.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, don't know the specifics and I didn't look at the report and all that other stuff, but I do think that there is a militarization of the police force because of our military industrial complex and the fact that we have such a surplus of military weapons. You know, why does middle fuck Idaho or whatever need a tanker yeah. and their police force and all this yeah. stuff? So I definitely believe there's a militarization. And I was hashtagging, you know, stuff for Ferguson because I do think that there's police brutality and power issues in this country. And someone was like, oh yeah, like Rosie Tran has black friends. I'm like, obviously you don't know anything about New Orleans because right. you can't not have at least 10 black friends because the city right. is a it's like Detroit or Atlanta. But for me, I've heard about the segregation in St. Louis, but it's just, I guess it's just shocking to me. LA is pretty segregated.
Yeah. You know, it's
racially
it's,
segregated.
Yeah, you want to think, oh, you know, and you do see people of all races in Los
Obviously,
Angeles.
Obviously it's a big city. Yeah.
But then there's a certain point you're like, wait a second, where are all the black people?
Is the first thing I realized yeah. when I moved here, because like I said, growing up in New Orleans, you can't not see a black person every 5 minutes. It's not, you know, it's just a black city.
Yeah. And I also think probably New Orleans is more, if you were to drive from section to section, like, you know, you would hit rich neighborhood, poor neighborhood, rich neighborhood.
That's how it is. And actually, if you guys want to solve all the world's problems, there's a social geography theory called the mixed neighborhood theory, which makes social class issues go away. And that's how New Orleans is kind of structured mm-hmm. is literally you could be on a block with million-dollar mansions, and then literally a block later, there's the projects.
Right.
And a lot of people in other cities and stuff, they don't really understand that, but it makes more of a melting pot, and people aren't really afraid of their neighbors, and you'll see rich private school kids hanging out with the ghetto kids. You know, like, it's more
right.
mixed. And then you don't see that. You see certain areas that are segregated.
I mean, to be fair, I grew up in West County, so I grew up in the suburbs.
I thought you said South.
No, I said that's a really white area.
Okay.
So is West County.
Okay,
West
okay.
County. So St. Louis.
You're kind of pink. You're not that white.
Yeah, yeah. but that's very, it's the more affluent area. And, you know, it's funny to me that the way living in Los Angeles, it's such a big place that I have to remember that in St. Louis, like driving downtown is, you know, that's a trip, right?
Yeah.
But it's only 15 miles. Like, from the edge of West County to downtown is 15 miles. So it's very close, but...
And without traffic, what is that, 10, 15 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of traffic, but
I'm saying without
yeah,
traffic.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
With traffic, like half an hour.
Yeah.
So not that far.
Yeah. yeah.
Right, yeah.
And, but definitely it's not like what you're describing with New Orleans. You know, you have a city. The city is actually separate from the county. St. Louis City, oddly, is not in St. Louis County. It actually left the county in the 1800s or something. And yeah.
We're like, we're done with you.
Yeah. So like in Missouri, there's X number of, say, 200 counties or 150, whatever it is, and St. Louis City as like a separate entity, which affects taxes. And so I think that probably maybe exacerbated the whole situation we have with a lot of places with the white flight where people left the city. That hurt the city even more if you're not sharing any tax base.
Yeah. I think that's happening in Detroit a lot with the people are moving out in the suburbs and Detroit is bankrupt because
yeah.
there's no taxes coming in. And there is some white flight now happening in New Orleans where people are moving to what they call the North Shore. But I think New Orleans is such an eclectic city, kind of like San Francisco and other. It's like people are so in love with it, they can't leave.
Right.
Like, I don't care if there's tons of crime.
I
want to live in an old Victorian.
Yeah. Having met way too many New Orleanians. No, you can't ever meet too many of them. But you guys are nuts about your city. So it's, you
They're
know,
nuts. Just yeah. crazy. Like, yeah. you can't leave. You're like, I don't care if there was a shooting a block over. Yeah. You're like, I want to stay here and eat the gumbo. And
I mean, there's a lot. You know, I've been joking when doing comedy that there's a lot about St. Louis to love. Like, we have the St. Louis Arch. I think it's the greatest structure in the whole history of the world, personally. But that's just me. But anyway, we have, you know, we have a lot of things going, or the city has a lot going for it. But to me, it's still another Midwestern city. You know, is Indianapolis worse? I don't know. I've never been there.
You mentioned something that's very important to me. So you said there's a lot of middle class white people in St. Louis who don't see this as a problem.
Right. And oh, and you talked about, you know, the police, was this person, this is a daughter or
so I had a guest on, Ashley Carey, who is also a progressive, but she said that after she went through the grand jury evidence, she personally, she has a blog and other things, she felt that Darren Wilson was maybe not justified, but that she could see
well, I mean,
why he did what he
did. I don't know why, you know, what facts particular you know, pushed her that way or the other. But one of the things that, you know, if there was a struggle, you know, and basically what Darren Wilson said is that, you know, this guy comes into the window, you know, through the window, and is fighting with him for the gun.
I don't think that happened. But
right. But the thing is, if that happened, it's a possibility, at least, that his fingerprints would have been on the gun. Darren Wilson said that he put on, after he went back to the police station, and by the way, washed the blood off his hands without them ever being photographed, he put gloves on and he put his own gun into an evidence envelope, and the gun in the envelope was never tested for fingerprints. So fingerprints of Michael Brown were never found on the gun, which would be a big thing that would back up his story.
Why wouldn't he have it?
So basically, the Ferguson police were the gang that couldn't shoot straight. They did so many things that if you just watched 2 hours of crime shows, you'd be like, hey, shouldn't we take some photographs? You know, the person who's supposed to take the crime scene photographs was basically like, yeah, I knew what happened, so there's really no point. And didn't have batteries, didn't have juice in their camera, so they didn't take photos.
I didn't go over the evidence, so I don't want to give an uneducated opinion.
Just agree that everything I've said is true.
But what I do know is that I don't think a young black man, because there is a fear of the police within the black community, which there is a lot of anger and resentment, but there's also a fear.
Yeah.
Because of the fact of the unequal number of arrests, because of the number. I don't think a young black man, unless he was on cocaine or high, severely high, would grab a gun at a police officer.
That's a kid who's asking not to live very long.
I just don't think that would happen.
You would be if he had robbed a bank, that would be a good time to grab a cop's gun.
But I don't know. Again, yeah. I don't know. I just, using common sense and my experience within the black community, I just don't think it would happen.
Particularly if he wanted to go to college the next week, which he was planning on doing. You know, in other words, he had a reason to live.
And again, I don't, you know, yeah. I don't know the facts. Supposedly, Ashley went through all the documents. I don't know.
You know, the other thing that I had no idea about is how biased the whole system is. I mean, I knew in terms of the justice system has always, I think, been biased. So that, for instance, there was a study in Pennsylvania where, say, you or I are murdered in the state of Pennsylvania.
Can we use another example?
Okay.
Like someone we know is murdered?
Okay. Your cousin? No.
One of my cousins. Yeah. Okay, we can use her. I don't like her.
So she gets murdered.
She doesn't look...
Now, you have two choices. You can either have her murdered by a black male or a white male. Now, if a black male murders her or is, you know, convicted of murder, his sentence will be the equivalent of a white person killing her who also tortures her. In other words, to receive the same sentence, it's not enough that they do the same crime. The white person actually has to torture her. I know that may make no sense, but basically what it is there are...
They're getting more time.
There's aggravating factors, and one of the aggravating factors is torture. If you torture the person and kill them, that's worse, right? So they found that if the person is black, they receive the same sentence as if they had tortured the person they killed.
Is there because there's a biased viewpoint that black people are more criminal or more dangerous?
Absolutely.
I have actually seen this in action. Not that black people are more violent or criminal, but what you just said about the bias in the criminal court system, because unfortunately in my early 20s, I had a thing for bad boys. And nice. Two of my ex-boyfriends should have been punished more severely than they were. One of them, I think, is going on his eighth or ninth DUI.
Nice.
Literally a raging alcoholic. And his punishments have been slaps on the wrist.
Yes.
The other one also has a mild criminal record. I actually went to his trial because he had a bench warrant or some type of warrant. It was a minor something with his DUI, another DUI something, and then he had a warrant because he was driving with a license and something. Anyway, so he had a trial, and literally, because I also, the bad boys that I like to date are really, really cute, and they have these like cutie doll, like American football wholesome looks, they always get a slap on the wrist.
Yes. Well, it's the perception of who you're dealing with.
It's a perception of, oh, you know, I'm just a good,
he made
good
a
boy, and I made a mistake, versus I'm a young black man on whatever.
Yeah, I mean, there's cases, or you know, it's anecdotal, but where two students are getting a fight, and the white student is, you know what, she's punished. She's suspended for 3 weeks. And the African-American that she was fighting with is suspended for 9 months, or not, maybe not, you know, a much more severe period of time, which then alters the rest of their life because they're now behind in all their topics, et cetera. And, you know, this shows up statistically and
anecdotally. When you defend this type or try to speak up about this type of racial inequality, Jim,
yes,
you are just a bleeding heart guilty liberal, and you right. feel guilty about slavery, and that's the only reason you're doing this, not because it's statistically scientifically proven.
Yeah, it is statistically and scientifically proven, and I sleep well at night, even though even though my whole life I've and that's another thing that's come up in the last few years, to me at least.
Also, if you defend women who have been raped, you're also
yeah. right. Yeah, I feel, yeah, I wake up and I just feel so bad, and so I just want to have ridiculous thoughts about it and how I can change the world, I guess. It's disgusting that
those are the accusations that are made.
Absolutely. I've had that accusation made against me, and by a racist son of a bitch who won't admit to being a racist, but to me it's what I'm realizing is that there's a conservatism even among, you know, Democrats of, oh, no. I got what I got through hard work. And these people just need to learn to work hard. And not taking into account the thousands of little things that occur in our lives that aid us, depending upon how we look and how we're perceived. You know, I came from, my dad went to college, right? Well, how many of his, you know, equally smart African-American students got into college in Wisconsin during the same period of time? And I don't think Wisconsin is the most racist state in the country, you know, but how many African-Americans had the opportunity to go to college? If they didn't, then how does that affect their lives of their children? Well, you know, when you're raised by somebody who's college educated, that raises the level of education you receive just through your parents directly, you know, and it depends, and that determines what schools you go to and where you live. Something I never really knew about until really last year is redlining. I mean, it was a term I've heard.
Oh, did you hear about that in the Wisconsin, since you're using Wisconsin as an example?
No, I'm not really. Actually, I was reading, but the studies I was reading about were St. Louis.
Okay,
But nationwide.
So explain redlining for people who have no idea what you're talking about.
I can't explain it very well, but I'll tell you that what I understand about it. Essentially, it was you were going to help people, you know, buy homes, but we don't want to be supporting people buying homes if there are African Americans in that area. We know that that's a bad area to invest in, so we're not going to give loans to people in areas that are going to be going downhill, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably paraphrasing that horribly, but the idea was
basically if you think a neighborhood is quote unquote going down because black people are moving in.
And it was basically one African American was enough to give that place a bad rating. So if an African American did move into your neighborhood, you did actually have a financial interest in driving them out. And then there were people who, there was the whole other thing, which was the blockbusting, where they would purposely move African Americans in so that they could drive down the property and then buy it buy it at a loss from the people.
And then...
and resell
gentrification it. Gentrification ensues.
Yeah. You know, yeah, this whole process. So, but how... so people want to say slavery was a long time ago. And it's like, yeah, that was replaced with Jim Crow laws and sharecropping. And then that was replaced with...
so what about, you know, people... and I've heard this argument because I am an Asian lady. What about people who say, well, look at, you know, Asians... or look at Indian Americans, or look at who have moved to this country with nothing, no, they don't speak the language, or look at Latino Americans, and yet they've been able to pull themselves up from their bootstraps. Why are, you know, Black and certain Latino, you know, blah, blah, you've heard this argument, right?
Yeah. I can't address all of that, but definitely, first off, you know, they say that about the Irish. Oh, we were... hardly, you know.
Are you so, Irish?
Yeah. I'm actually only a quarter Irish, but, okay. You know, yeah, but Coughlin is an Irish name. You know, first of all, Hispanics do still face a lot of the exact same issues, and Hispanic males receive tougher sentences, you know, but I think it's the worst treated is African American. First off, there's a perception, and it's very easy to say, well, Asian Americans are doing well financially. But then you ask Asian Americans, do you face any discrimination or, you know, the microaggressions, they call it, or, you know, and it's like, yeah, it turns out that things aren't necessarily perfect just because, you know, some of them are getting into Harvard or, you know. Yeah, I can't explain all of that away and just go, but the result is you either have to say, you know, take into account
the discrimination that people are making against you.
Yeah. Or you have to say, well, they're just inferior. You know, that becomes the explanation of these people who say, oh, I'm colorblind. And then the same person will then say, why are they voting this way? Or why do they buy into what they think is the wrong view of things? Well, they're easily misled. It's like, well, now you're describing them as children who can't think for themselves, you know? So I think... at the back of it is always...
I think that, you know, we all have racism. Our predetermined judgments and what we grow up with, what our cultural conditioning is, what society is teaching us. And I'm not saying that's wrong or right. In fact, I have no idea. You know, I'm not God. But it's up to us to let go of the stereotypes that we don't agree with, basically.
Yeah,
because we grow up with these stereotypes, right? Or we're taught them. We're socially conditioned to believe, you know, this person is like this, or this type of person is like this, or women are like this, or men are like this. And then it's up to us to say, well, this is what I was taught, or this is what I've learned as a judgment, or this is what my ego is making up. But that may not necessarily be true.
Yeah, we have to be honest we've been
programmed.
Yeah, we've seen hundreds of thousands of images, and the doctor is portrayed as male, maybe, and white, whatever, or that the Asian is presented as being, you know, certain types of jobs are Asian jobs, certain types of jobs are for, you know, Black people, or if it's a rapper or if it's a criminal, much more likely, you know, to be viewed as Hispanic or Black or whatever. It's the people who say, oh, I don't see color. And it's like, really, can we test you? Because then when they do tests where people have to sort photos based upon information they have, and they know that this person, they're given information that says this person's a criminal or this person is not a criminal. If the person, the photo they see is of a Black person, but they're not listed as being criminal, still the brain is like programmed to see them as criminals. So it takes them longer to sort them. It's a, like a weird test that basically shows that
biases exist. And, you know? And it's okay. Like I said, it's okay to have them. And I'm sure, you know, Black people have stereotypes about white people and whatever.
And about Black people.
And about Black people. Yeah. And whatever, you know, but it's up to us as people to say, hey, you know, well, you know, my stereotype in my mind is that all women are submissive. Well, you know, I know a lot of women that aren't that submissive, and then letting that stereotype go. But it's okay to have it in your mind. Obviously, we're all brainwashed from a very early age through Hollywood, media, parents, whatever.
Yeah, but I think, yeah, being aware of it and even being continually educated about it. There was a recent thing, I want to get this right, Traficant. I can't think of his first name, but he was a congressman, possibly a senator. I have to say I don't have this information at the top of my head. But anyway, he died in 2014, as did Marion Barry. Marion Barry had a cocaine problem, and I think he served a little bit of time for his cocaine problem. Traficant went to jail for like 7 years for corruption. So one of them, I would say, committed worse crime because it was a crime against the people versus a personal crime of doing cocaine. You know,
just having an addiction problem.
Yeah, he was just caught doing cocaine in a hotel room with some hookers or something.
No big deal. Every politician's done it.
No, but it was a pretty big deal. But he also was reelected after that. He did represent the interests of his people. He never was, you know, he wasn't busted for corruption on the political level, right? Well, they do a little wrap up, and for Traficant, they like don't even mention his prison term and his corruption. And Marion Barry, all they talk about is the cocaine. Well, you can guess which one's white and which one's black. It's the story that they tell is so.
Now, why persistent. Do you think the media is so persistent on this? You know, I've heard some conspiracy theories where they're trying to keep a status quo, or because the majority of, you know, the wealthy corporate elite is white, they're, you know, or the whole fear sells thing. I mean, what is the motivation behind all this?
I think it doesn't require a conspiracy. It's just, you know, you are much, much more likely to realize, hey, wait a second, women aren't being treated fairly in this situation, and I'm much more likely to miss it because my default is not necessarily to be thinking about you know, how
about women's rights or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I do, but it's obviously, you know, not a natural issue for me because, or you know, or same thing with Asians. If someone is presented a stereotype about Asians that I might not even realize.
That it's a stereotype because you're just like, whatever.
Yeah. And then you might be like, hey, wait a second. Why are all the Asians on this flyer shown to be bowing or whatever it is, you know?
Okay.
And so when you have, let's say, white males or white males and females doing something, they're going to
present their default.
Yeah. And
if they're not aware.
Yeah. And that's why diversity changes things in ways that you don't even realize. And so chances are most of the people working on that show were white or male or both or mixed, you know. And yeah, there might have been a black guy working in the, you know, there too, or an Asian woman or whatever. But the majority probably was white.
And these systems actually perpetuate themselves because of our society structure. For example, like you said, when more of a certain type of person is getting into college and getting the jobs that are creating our societal structures instead of working low paying, you know, wage jobs.
Yeah. 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 And in Ferguson, by the way, there's an example where most schools probably, I don't know if it's every single state, you know, schools are supported by local taxes. And there is no money in Ferguson except what is made up by arresting black males. I mean, basically, they ticket.
Happens in LA. Not that, but I don't know if you've noticed, but because of our huge deficit, all of the parking meter tickets have gone up.
Oh, yeah.
And also, a lot of parking meters used to go till 6 p.m. Now they go till 8 p.m. In Glendale, it's till 10 p.m.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not because they want people off the streets and they want cars moved out of the way. It's a money-making, you know,
scheme.
Thing.
Yeah.
Because nobody ever wins if they say, I'm going to raise taxes. So they can sneak in a different tax, and it's a tax on people who need to move
around. And it's actually a tax on the poor because these are what they affect poor people more. Because what happens is, say you make $100,000 a year and you're taxed at 20%. I'm literally just making up numbers, so I don't want any accountants emailing me angry emails. But so say you make $100,000 a year and you're taxed at 20% or whatever your tax rate is, and you make $30,000 a year and you're taxed, you know, let's just say at a lower tax rate, let's say 10%. Again, I'm making up numbers. Don't get angry, listeners. It's according to your pay structure. But when you're getting a $300 ticket and you make $100,000 a year, that's not going to hurt you as much as if you're making $20,000 a year living below the poverty line, you get this $300 ticket. That might be your rent. That might be your mortgage.
And the guy who's making more money is much more likely to have a the
a friend or a lawyer
to go,
or whatever.
Hey, yeah. If it's really going to mess his life up, he gets the attorney to go in and say, you know, Your Honor, my client, blah, blah, blah. That's why it's so crazy to maybe to from Americans in, I believe it's Germany and some of the Nordic countries, they actually will ticket based upon your income for things like speeding.
They do that.
Yeah, yeah. And somebody's gotten like a $20,000 speeding ticket because he was a millionaire.
I think that makes sense. I actually, speaking of tickets, I have the Superior Court of California ticket up here.
I see that there.
And guys, I am against all parking and traffic tickets because I think they're money-making schemes. And I truly think that they're against the American way of life. And I always fight them till the very end. This ticket right here, Jim, I've been fighting for over 10 years. Yes.
What?
I have been fighting it for over 10 years, and I even got two council members and I think a congressman involved. Still waiting, County of Los Angeles.
What was the ticket issue
for my $300? The issue was that, so I always fight tickets to the very end. I've even fought meter tickets and gotten paid and refunded for my meter issues. By the way, if you want to fight a meter ticket, this is how you do it. Most people pay their ridiculous $75 meter tickets. In LA, it's $75 people. When I moved here in 2002, it was actually only $25. So if you want to look at corruption, it's right there. On the back, it says to fight this ticket, respond or whatever. So you have to pay first, which is unconstitutional. It's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, but you pay first in California and then you write a letter to the back. They always deny it and then you appeal it. And basically after you appeal two or three times, I think you can appeal, they kind of give up.
Okay.
And then they go, okay, fine, whatever the fuck. And also if it's a meter ticket, you can order a meter report and they'll see if the meter has ever been broken in the past 2 weeks, which meters are always broken in LA. So then you'll get your money back. That's how you fight meter tickets. But what happened with this ticket is, I got, I think it was one of those red light tickets that are like automatic or something, which are like illegal now. But I fought it because I did not feel that I did what they said I did. I won and I was to be issued a check for $321, I think. I never received the check. And I had to pay first because you have to, again, pay first here, right, which is unconstitutional. And then I was told by the courthouse they would issue me another check. I never received that check. And so I would write a letter to the Pasadena courthouse and a local representative every year. And it's been now 10 years. Finally, I got a phone call from the courthouse saying that they got my repeated letters and that they were going to refund me the money, at which time I got a case person assigned to me and I had to fill out this report of what happened. Then I was told I couldn't get the money back because I was supposed to file the claim within 6 months. And then I appealed again. And then I had another representative who came to me and I had to fill out another lengthy report and show the proof of the past letters I've written and the proof of, I think I had Councilman Schiff or whoever, Congressman Schiff, I can't remember what his role was at the time. I included the letter that he wrote back to me apologizing for the inconvenience I have. And now it's in limbo again.
First of all, that's amazing. It's amazing they make you work so hard to get your own money back, even after they admit fault.
They admitted fault several times. And I also had to prove my original address where the check was supposed to be sent, which I had a file folder with all this information because, and you know, my dad is like, Rosie, this is a waste of your time. This is a waste of your money. But for me, it's a matter of principle. And first of all, I got the ticket when I was in college. $321 was a lot of fucking money for me back then. Yeah. I'm a broke comedian.
Right.
$321 is still a lot of money to me now. It's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you. We need people fighting for that. And
I don't think I'm going to ever get it.
Thank you for the information about how to fight these tickets. I have to say what I always do is I always put off paying until it doubles. And then
I have another technique, guys, for fighting tickets. If you ever get a speeding, parking, whatever ticket where the cop gives you the ticket, you can request a trial. And, you know, they say if the cop doesn't show up, then you win. But you can change the location of the courthouse, which I did not know, and actually request a different courthouse. So
increasing the probability that the cop doesn't
increasing the probability that the cop doesn't show up, because usually he's on duty. If he's not on duty and he has to go to court because he has another ticket that he has to go defend, most likely it will be at the courthouse closer to him and not closer to you. So you request a change of courthouse, increasing the chances he won't show up, usually doesn't show up, and then you get the case dropped.
Now, what if you could somehow influence what he was doing schedule-wise? So be like, hey, you know, get a friend to call and say, we really need Officer Jenkins to show up. You know, maybe get him to give a speech at a school or something.
I don't know. But I haven't gotten that many tickets in my life. But I actually have only gotten like 4 tickets. And this includes parking and meter tickets.
Wow.
But I am so against paying tickets. I just think it's a money-making scheme. I'm morally against it. So the one ticket where I had the police officer, I actually, again, money-making scheme, got pulled over. The police officer claimed that I ran the stop sign. I said, no, I did not run the stop sign because I was making a left turn onto ongoing two-way traffic, and it was impossible. Otherwise, I went and got hit. He made an uncomfortable sigh and said, okay, fine, maybe you yielded. And then I said, no, there's no possible way. Look at that intersection. There's no, because it was a trap. And then he was like, oh, I already wrote it. Just go fight it. He admitted. He like totally admitted.
Wow.
Because I was like, most people are just like, oh, sorry, officer. I was like, no, I didn't fucking not stop at that. You have to stop there.
Right. And yet, yeah, I already wrote it. Yeah.
I already wrote it.
Yeah.
Even though you didn't do it.
There's a guy who believes in justice. Here, you fight it for 10 years. Yeah. I have to say,
sorry to go off on a psychotic tangent about tickets.
I'll admit to a little bit of evil here. So where I live for the last 2 years in Hollywood on Las Palmas is, you know, 2 blocks or a block really from Sunset and 1 block
from
Hollywood.
Do you live in Michelli's?
Yes, absolutely. It's right up the street. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So what happens is I have a little guest parking pass that I use, a hang tag, and I can only park right on my street on the one side. The other side is meters. People illegally park because they want to go to Hollywood and they don't want to spend, and it's only like $5 to $10 for the parking lots. Right. So they illegally park on my street, and they do this so much that often I end up, okay, I'll park on the meter, which I can do at night, but then, you know, I might get a ticket in the morning or whatever. So I've gotten hundreds of dollars worth of tickets.
Do you put them on the other cars?
The tickets?
Do you take the ticket off your car and put it on another car?
Well, how would that benefit me?
Because some people would think that they got a ticket and not look at it and pay.
Who's going to pay those kind of... Well, you'd think they'd figure that out. Oh, that's interesting.
Some people don't look at them and just pay.
Ah, that's interesting. You'd think at some point they'd figure that out.
If you got a notice... Anyway, okay. Okay, I thought you said evil. You said evil.
Okay, thing is that I have, on more than one occasion, contacted parking and said you got 2 or 3 cars illegally parked.
Evil.
Because.
Evil. Because you want your spot.
Not only that, but they're parking illegally. See, I avoid getting tickets most of the time by very religiously reading all the things.
The 10 parking signs.
It's like so complicated. Sometimes it does give you a headache. You're like, wait a second. It's a Tuesday at 3 p.m. Can I park here? I don't know. You know, but so I have done that. And when I see parking enforcement on my street, I say thank you.
Wow, guys. Avoid Las Palmas. Avoid
yes.
Jim.
Yeah, avoid
he
Las Palmas
is evil.
Between Sunset and Selma, or I will...
Progressives are evil, guys.
But actually, what's happened is I finally figured out, for some reason, it's gotten easier. And I've kind of figured out how to do it. But let me tell you what happens when I, because of these people illegally parking, I parked on Sunset one night. And I woke up and I was feeling good. It was a good day. It was going to be a good day.
The birds were chirping.
Yeah, it literally was one of those days where like, I feel good. It's going to be a great day. And then I look at the first little part where I normally park and the car's not there. And I look at the second little section, and my car's not there. And I'm like,
did you get towed?
I did get towed. That's hundreds of dollars. Hundreds of dollars. Thankfully, I had it. If it had been a week where I was like, spent all my money, that would have been doubly sad.
I just still think all of these towing your car and all this stuff is just money-making schemes.
Oh, absolutely.
It's awful.
Now I would never, I don't park there.
Again,
I would never
again.
Do it.
when I moved here in 2002, and you know, for those of you who don't live in LA, these schemes are happening all over the country.
Yeah.
So you can relate. But but the tickets have quadrupled.
Yes.
Quadrupled in price.
Now, about 4 years ago, or maybe it was five, whatever, in downtown St. Louis, I was visiting, and I got a parking ticket, and it was $15. It might have been 10. It definitely was not more than 15. And it was like, I just laughed. I was happy. I was happy because, yeah, you're right. They're so expensive now. It was 63 to 68. Now it's up to 75, you're saying? Or?
Some places. Yeah, and some places, you know, like I said, the meters used to go till 6 p.m. After that, it was free. Now they're going to 8 p.m. And
now, I do warn people. When I see people parking illegally, I'll be like, you know, it's about a $63 ticket or 68. Or, you know, I'll explain to people why they can't park on my block. You know, or even like some people, there were some foreign visitors who've parked in the wrong direction. And it's like, you can't do that. Some places you can, but in Los Angeles, you can't.
You're so
be
funny.
Driving the wrong way, you know.
I don't know how we got off on the side tangent. Yeah.
Anyway.
So we have to wrap up.
Sure. It's been a pleasure.
What is your website? What is your blog? What is your Twitter? What is your social media? How can people find you? What is your podcast?
Sure. So the podcast is on RadioTitans.com. And the name of the podcast is Left of Wrong. And my website is about 27 years out of date.
I don't think they had websites 27 years ago,
I did.
Jim.
I did. No, actually, I got it about 1999 or 2000. But anyway, it's JimCoughlin.com.
Okay.
And Coughlin is the word cough, C-O-U-G-H-L-I-N. And Jim is J-I-M.
And we'll have links to everything on Out of the Box Podcast.
And then Twitter, Mr. Jim Coughlin. Mr. Jim Coughlin. And that's
it. So follow him, listen to his podcast, and support him. And I don't know how we got off on that tangent. I think I was
going off about social justice. It really is. We don't even think about it, but it really is about the fact that we talk about, the rich are paying so much in taxes. Like, yeah, but there's a million ways in which poor people pay more, you know,
and
sales
they don't
tax,
realize it.
This, yeah. That, the other. Yeah.
And that is another way. So write to your local political representatives and tell them no more crazy parking and traffic tickets.
And it doesn't require evil. All it requires is the fact that almost everybody in Congress is a millionaire. So they don't view things the way we do.
Except for Bernie. Yeah. Guys, go on outofthebox.com and click on the donate button. We are now accepting Litecoins, Bitcoins, dog coins, any kind of coin. And if you want to send me Kohler cash, message me and I'll send you my PayPal. This has been Out of the Box Podcast with Rosie Tran. Again, we are on Stitcher and iTunes and SoundCloud. If you enjoyed the podcast, leave a positive comment. That helps us out a lot. If you like the podcast at all, even for one tiny second, click on the subscribe button. That helps us out even more. If you don't like the podcast and you want to send negative comments, that's fine. Just leave them on the iTunes. It helps our numbers as well. So you can leave that there. And this has been Rosie Tran.